Hello, good afternoon to everybody. My name is Frank Wimmenhauer. I'm the CFO of PROCEVER, and I'm pleased to welcome you. We also have here the CEO and founder of the company, Mr. Jürgen Heindl.
Hello, good afternoon.
We should move to page number four to give you an overview about the highlights of our first half year result and the second quarter 2016. First of all, we can record a further strong performance, a strong volume growth in our corrugated board business in the first half with around 12% growth and in the second quarter of around 15% growth. The integration between our containerboard and corrugated board business increased to 71% in comparison to Q2 2015 of 66%. The EBITDA increased by around 35% to around 94.6 million in the first half 2016, primarily as a result of our strong performance and effects from the integration of the CHP power plant. Q2 was a plus of 14.9% to 43.1 million. Free cash flow increased to 78.3 million in the first half and was 40.4 million in Q2 due to a strong cash generation. We showed a partial redemption of our floating rate notes in June of 40 million euros as a result of the strong cash conversion, and we further announced a further partial redemption of 35 million euro for September 2016. Net financial debt was at the end of June 461 million, which is equal to 2.6 LTM EBITDA. Let's move forward to our financial performance to page number six, where you can get an overview about our volume development on the containerboard business. Here you can see the increasing trend of our integration between our containerboard and corrugated board business. We can show a steady 71%, which we also achieved in the first quarter 2016. We saw a slightly increasing external volume in comparison to the first quarter. In comparison to the second quarter 2015, the external volume went down from 89,000 tons to 77,000 tons, and the total volume was up from 261,000 tons to 269,000 tons. Let's move to the volume development on the next page of our corrugated board business, which is our main external sales driver. We increased the volume from the second quarter 2015 to the second quarter 2016 of around 15.4%, from 207,000 tons to 239,000 tons, which is a strong growth in comparison. On page number eight, to get an overview about the sales development in comparison to the second quarter 2015. We generated sales of 189 million euro in the second quarter 2016, which is a plus of 11.5% in comparison to the second quarter 2015. The main external sales driver, again, was the volume growth of our corrugated board business, which is an organic growth and equal to around 21 million euro. We have less volume in our external containerboard business, which is a result of the higher integration between the containerboard and corrugated board business, and we have some slight negative effect due to the price development in comparison to the second quarter 2015. and also some other effects, and this ends up to the 189 million. So if we come to the next page, you get the overview of the development from the first quarter 2016 to the second quarter 2016, which is more or less on the same level. So coming from the 189.5 million to 189 million, we saw a higher volume in our corrugated board business, so also a growth in comparison to the first quarter 2016, which results in 5.6 million plus of sales. We had a slight negative effect due to the higher integration in our volume of the container board business of around 0.9 million. And we had, as already announced in our expectation, a negative effect due to some price and margin pressure of 7.7 million, which is mainly due to lower prices on the corrugated board side and on the container board side. The main effect is coming from the corrugated board side. Let's move to the next page, where you can get an overview about the container board business and corrugated board business in total. As already mentioned before, in comparison to Q2 2015, we increased the total volume in our container board business from 261,000 to 269,000 tons. We increased the internal sold volume from 172,000 tons to 192,000 tons. And on the corrugated board business, we saw the significant growth from 207,000 tons to 239,000 tons based on organic growth. On page number 11, you get an overview about our EBITDA development. You can see that we generated an EBITDA in the second quarter 2016 of 43.1 million, which is equivalent to an EBITDA margin of 22.8%, which is a decline in comparison to the first quarter 2016, as already mentioned in our last call, and slightly above the EBITDA margin in Q2 2015. Main result for the decline in our EBITDA is a lower contribution margin, also due to all the lower sales price, as mentioned before. But on the other side, you also have to take into consideration that we had some additional provisions for our maintenance shutdown in the third quarter, which had an effect of around 6.5 million euro, and which was the main effect for that. Let's move to the next page, where you can get an overview about the development of the EBITDA margin. As already mentioned, the EBITDA margin in the second quarter 2016 is around 22.8%, which is below the last two quarters, but which is still above our long-term average. And our expectation is for Q3 that we expect a further decline in our EBITDA margin, mainly due to the scheduled shutdowns, but also due to the margin pressure based on lower sales price and a higher price level for recycled paper. On the next page, you can again see the comparison in the EBITDA Q2 2015 to Q2 2016. We generated an EBITDA, which is around 15% above the previous year's quarter, from 37 million to 43 million. And this is mainly driven by higher volume of our corrugated board business and also positive effects from the CHP integration. Second quarter, we generated a strong cash flow, which you can see on the next page. The free cash flow was 40.4 million, which is significant above the second quarter 2015, and which was also the basis for us to further decide on a partial early redemption on a further 35 million by the end of September 2016. Next page, you can see that our leverage is down to 2.6, which is a very good development in comparison to the last year and also the year end 3.4. And this leverage improvement is mainly driven by our strong cash conversion and the partial redemption of our floating rate notes. Working capital on the next page, as a percentage, 14%, so very stable, as you have also seen this in the last quarters, so no surprises there. Therefore, nothing to add or to mention. So let's come to the summary and the outlook of our expectations on page number 18. We expect a further strong growth and profitability so of our sales and successful operation of our new CHP. We will have our first long planned shutdown of the CHP in the third quarter, which will be an important topic for us in order to see in which shape the CHP is. We expect further normalizing of cross margin based on the market conditions, the price development, and the scheduled maintenance shutdowns. As already mentioned in our last conference call, we expect EBITDA margin for the full year 2016 of something around 23%. So that means looking at this next quarter, Q3, we expect an EBITDA margin below 20%, and in the fourth quarter 2016, it will be again up 20%, and based on this, the total average figure will be something around 23 or maybe slightly below 23%. The next Provel plant, PW10 in Provel, is in progress, will be slightly delayed, but just slightly delayed, and the launch will be in the first quarter 2017, and so far it's well in plan. And as already mentioned before, we already have announced a further partial redemption of our floating rate notes on 30th of September 2016 based on our strong cash conversion. So before we come to the questions Q&A section in our call, I would like to bring a personal note. This is my last conference call as ProGroup CFO, and therefore let me briefly explain my departure from ProGroup. I will be leaving ProGroup by the end of this year. My function as a CFO for ProGroup will be terminated by the end of September, but I still will be available in the last quarter 2016 in order to move urgent matters forward, to hand over important topics to my successor, and to introduce him to different stakeholders. My successor, Dr. Volker Metz, our former head of controlling, will arrive on the 1st of November, and I think this is a good timing for a handover. Throughout the past almost 8 years, which I spent at ProGroup, I enjoyed exciting but also challenging, also very challenging times. And with our management team and in close collaboration with our finance team, we accomplished a lot within these years. We successfully implemented and grew our strategy and deliver best-in-class containerboard and corrugated board products and services. We are running cutting-edge technology and facilities of highest technical standards developed in a consistent greenfield approach. and we reorganized our financing by entering into the bond market for the first time last year and acquired the CHP. All in all, the company is in a very good shape and our business is running well. Consequently, it is the right time to go after new challenges. Having said this, I would like to take the opportunity to thank you for your support and the constructive dialogue we shared over the past years. In particular, I would like to thank Jürgen Heindl, with whom it was a pleasure working together and who gave me the opportunity to develop a very strong finance function and team and to execute this finance strategy. Last but not least, I would like to thank my finance team for their outstanding and reliable contribution to the success of PROCO over the past years. Let's move to the Q&A section.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two, and when preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. Our first question today comes from Glenn Zahn from Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. A question I have for you is on basically the market, the general market, and where PROCO actually fits in, just given the development, I mean, as far as the added capacity that's coming into the market. If you could just give us some color about, you know, how the competitive market looks. I mean, where are we right now in total capacity in the market? How much has come on the past two quarters? And where are you at as far as your capacity and utilization rates? I guess where I'm kind of going with this, I just want to kind of get a more granularity of where pricing is going in the second half and into next year.
Okay, Jürgen Heindl speaking. Going to your question, we see a quite stable market for the rest of the year, especially in our case. We have downtimes on both machines, maintenance downtime scheduled, so we are more or less a little bit tight in paper. But as well, the market is in a quite good condition for the moment, though we also believe in a chance to increase prices in September, October. Maybe not by the announced €40 per ton, but I believe we can achieve €20 to €25 per ton. It is necessary because the waste paper prices increased during the last quarter, especially in August, and so I think it can help to improve a little bit the margin again in comparison to the current situation in August.
But just as far as on a quantitative level, I mean, where are we right now as far as the market, as far as the amount of capacity, how much capacity has been introduced in the past the 6 months that has put this pressure on pricing? And where are you at as far as total volumes as far as capacity is concerned?
There is Parenco in Netherlands started up a few weeks ago, but they are, from our what we know, they are not able to run saleable paper for the moment. We think it's a rebuild. It's of course a more difficult startup than a new machine. But they will come on stream, I'm quite sure, during the next few weeks. But the volume pressure, it will be not very high until end of the year from this machine. Normally, the next 3 months have a very good demand situation. So I think we will not have an important influence in the rest of the year. Beginning next year, we see another machine coming on stream. It's Schöller-Sommer. It's not very, very good performing machine with maybe a capacity of 250,000 tons around this. So there is a chance if the market stays quite stable or in the current condition that we will see even a reasonable first quarter. Onwards, I think we will feel the additional capacity during 2017, which should run on a more or less regular way after this period of time.
And the volume growth that you've been experiencing over the past several quarters, I mean, where is that actually coming from? And I mean, how long do you, the demand itself, and is that demand actually sustainable?
I think the demand is quite stable from the corrugated board side. The GDP is still growing, so the corrugated board market follow the GDP, and we see no significant change in the rest of the year.
Okay. All right, that's fair enough. Thank you.
Yeah. Our next question today comes from Ash Heathwell from Schenkman Capital. Please go ahead.
Oh, sorry, just realized my line was on mute. Two quick questions, and thank you for the presentation. Is there any expected spillover of the maintenance shutdowns from the third into the fourth quarter, or are you expecting to keep that isolated for the third quarter?
Actually, the main effect of the shutdown should be in the third quarter, but also already a part of that is already in the second quarter. Contained due to the provision of around 6.5 million, which we already reserved in the second quarter.
Right, fair enough. And given the shutdowns or the planned shutdowns for maintenance, that is during the third quarter, as well as the anticipated 35 million in debt pay down, what do you view as a minimum cash need to really just run the business on a day-to-day basis? Just given that you're using a lot of your excess cash to proactively pay down debt.
The minimum cash for the day-to-day business is something around, let's say, 50 million euro.
That's a 15, 1-5?
1-5, 1-5.
Okay, terrific. Thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that's star followed by one to ask a question. We currently have no further questions on the phone lines.
Okay, so thank you very much. Then we should move forward to the GH Holding. So everybody who's interested, invited to stay in the conference. And actually we move forward in our presentation to the most important page for GH Holding. It's the group figures on page 23. Here you get the overview about the consolidated group figures, comparison between Pro Group and GH Holding. And as you can see, there are no major effects, no surprises. We just have a main deviation, which is in the consolidated net income for the period. And this is mainly coming from the additional interest which the GH Holding has to accrue and to consider for the PIK toggle notes. So therefore, nothing important to mention on this. But please go ahead if you have any questions. Any questions to GH Holding?
We have a follow-up question on the line from Glenn Zahn from Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, if it's okay, if I could just cycle back and ask a question on your recycled paper. You said prices are kind of creeping up. Can you just give me an idea of what are your volumes, of the amount of volumes you actually purchase per year in recycled paper?
1.2, 1.3 million, roughly.
And that's it. Just you talked about contribution margin. I was just wondering if you just give us an insight of what the breakdown between fixed and your variable costs are.
Actually, if you look at our contribution margin, we more or less have, let's say, that 50% variable cost.
Great. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Our next question today comes from Alexander Seren from Dynamic Credit. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for your time for taking my questions. I have one follow-up question on your capacities. You're currently at 71% integration, and you're opening up the plant in Poland next year. Can you give us some guidance on what the integration level would be after this comes online, and what's the midterm target for integration level going forward? Thank you.
So actually, our target for the integration level is something around between mid of 70, so 75 to 80%. That's actually our target.
And what will be the integration level after the Poland capacity comes online?
We could achieve, it depends on the swap business, but we could achieve 80 to 82%.
Thank you very much.
Our next question on the line comes from Jayant Kandalam from Lucror. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Just had two follow-ups. One specifically with regard to JH Holding. Just wanted to understand your thoughts around the pick toggle, the payment of the pick toggle. I believe that you just need to pay it now if you want. So are you intending to continue to pay the cash interest on the PIK, please?
No, actually, we can make this very easy and quite clear. It's our intention to pay cash interest, and this is also planned for the next period. So we have the option, but it is our interest and our aim to pay cash interest. And we have already prepared for that, so that there is sufficient liquidity also on the GHA level in order to be provided for the next interest payment.
Great, thanks. And just one follow-up question on the operations. You did mention that you're expecting to see additional capacity in 2017, and you did mention just probably one machine which was due to come early 2017. But would you at this point in time have a ballpark idea of how many tons are expected in 2017, and if there's going to be enough to, I mean, is it going to really push down the prices very significantly over the medium term, or would demand rebalance it over a period? Hello?
Just give us a second. We just consolidate. Back in a second. Okay, actually, we just have done some math to calculate, so we expect until end of 2070 something around of 1.4, 1.5 million of additional capacity in the market.
for sure, as always, additional capacities can have impact on prices. It must not necessarily be the case. Very much depends also on the dynamics of the market. It depends on the export stream of paper outside the European market. This depends on freight rates, exchange rates, and other effects. So it's very quite a lot of parameter which influences that. So it's just one parameter, and for sure additional capacity is not always good in order to maintain or improve prices.
Okay, understood. And just one last follow-up just on this. The 1.5 million tons you mentioned, if you could just have to have a ballpark on what kind of increment is it on existing capacity in Europe, would you be able to give us a number, like what is 1.5 million in terms of the percentage of the existing capacity as an increment?
Yeah, 5 to 6%, something around that, just as a ballpark.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much for the questions.
Okay, thank you.
We currently have no further questions on the phone lines.
Okay, then thank you very much. We are through, and wish you a good day.
Before we close the session, I'd like to thank Frank for his great job done during the last 8 years. And I think it was really exciting times, and I wish you all the best for the future. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.